everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5. Right here in the center of your dial. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays you could tune in and hear us. Because we bring you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Revision. Yesterday, that was the word with Roberta Mariotti. We talked about revisions. Going back a second time to look at what you thought might have changed after the first time. What did you think when you were younger that you learned wasn't necessarily true? Funny thing, a man named Thomas Sowell, S-O-W-E-L-L, an intellect, create a syndicate, said that he points to the fact that there's an adolescent period that many people, especially the intellectuals, never outgrow. And it's this concept of when you're a kid, when you're young, and you have a sense that you're under somebody else's control. And then this dangerous, what he calls dangerous period in life, is a time when a child has learned the limits of his parents' control. You learn your parents have limits, you see? And once you learn your parents have limits, you learn how to circumvent their control, but has not yet understood or accepted the underlying reasons for not doing it. So you find out your parents tell you, do not run across the street. And you realize they can't control you, and you could run across the street whenever you want. But you don't consider, squat. You get hit by a truck and, that's the reason why. You're not in consideration of that. The main thing you want to do is get out of the control of your parents, many people. And it seems that according to Thomas Sowell, almost all people carry this. And part of the way that people try to get away from the control of their parents is through the intellect, by developing their mind. And he says the people who are the most intellectual, the biggest brainers, are people who are fighting against the authority of their parents by trying to find freedom through their minds and by outthinking their parents. Interesting concept, don't you think? The smarter you are, the more of a child you are, is kind of what the theory is, that the ones who are trying to escape the most by being the most intelligent are frequently the ones who are mostly stuck in that one adolescent stage to be liberated, to be discover freedom. So this whole concept of what makes certain people who they are, it kind of intrigues me. Why, therefore? So, the brainiacs. I thought brainiacs were good. But if you think about a kid who sits in his basement, on his computer and spending all day down there, and then learning that his parents have certain limits of intelligence. Well, you see, now there's another thing. Limits of intelligence, very important concept. Are we the first generation ever where the kids are smarter than the parents? The kids have more information than the parents. Is this the first time? Is it the time when because of available information, you cannot deny the curious mind any longer? And we're at a stage where no matter how old you are, your offspring knows more than you do about many things. And what a hard thing to deal with. First time ever this may be happening. But, of course, if you're a current offspring, like if you're an 11-year-old sitting in the studio today, you say, well, what other way is there? You say, but of course I know more than my mother because I have know how to run my computer. You want to get the words to that? Just go to Google, and you go fetch it, and it comes right up. My mom wouldn't know how to do that as quickly. We have in our studio today a guest, Taliana. Taliana got to us through, how did you get to us, Taliana? Welcome.
Thank you. I got to you through the school, an auction.
Uh-huh. Yes, an auction. And that's right. We auctioned off a visit to a WBAI studio with Armand DeMille, right?
Yep.
And you won.
Mm-hmm.
Or your parents won.
Yeah.
Let me ask this question. Are you smarter than your mother?
Of course I am.
No, seriously. I don't mean that as a joke, but do you think you are?
In some subjects, I think so.
In what subjects?
Math.
Sure. Research? Computer skills?
Computer skills, yes, but I'm not sure about research.
Uh-huh. So your mom is a pretty smart lady. I met her. She seems to be pretty intellectual, and she's got her mind going. But, you know, in many ways, you feel like you know more than she does about certain things.
Yeah.
How about music? Who knows more about music?
I think me.
Yeah. See, how do you? Yeah, and you're 11 years old.
Yeah.
We're going to get back to you in a minute. We're going to talk about the whole idea of growing up smart. But growing up, you don't want to necessarily be smarter than anybody else, right? You just realize that you are.
Yep.
Yeah. We'll talk about that. How many factors affect you when you're growing up? Here's a real question, and I went through a number of things. It's hard to realize that as you're growing up, you, what makes you different than me, what makes you different than Taliana, and what makes you different than other people, it's how you grow up. Of course, it may start off with the genes in your physical being, if you're tall, short, male, female, you know, skinny, fat, whatever tendency that you have, that, of course, makes a difference. So if you're a tall boy, you're going to have a very different life than if you're a vertically challenged girl. Is that right? Short is a bad word. Short girl, okay. So, I mean, it's a big difference, though. It's just a big difference. You're going to have a different experience of the world. I'm 6'4". I walk in a subway, you know. I look over everybody's head, and I have no trouble breathing. But what if I were somebody who was 5'6", you know, and a little more fragile? You go in a subway, people are pressed up against you, you can't breathe. It's a whole different experience of the world. Do you understand? Whole different experience. So your physical attributes make a great deal of difference. And then when you grow up, a lot of other factors. Like, let's just look at, if you're growing up, money. Money in your house. Is there enough money? Is there a lot of money? Is there very little money, or is there no money? How did you grow up? Think of the difference between if there is no money, which many of us grew up with, and if there's a lot of money. Big difference, right? I mean, if there's a lot of money, then your parents are probably around a little more than if there's no money. So that's one thing. It affects a lot of things. You know, it affects how you feel. It affects how your parents feel. How about parents? How about, did you have one parent? Did you have two parents? You know, you could have a mother and a father, or you could have just a mother, or you could have just a father, or you could have a mother and a stepfather, or a mother, a father, and a stepmother. You could have any variations. How would it affect you? Think about the difference in these changing faces of a family if you had two parents that were solidly yours, or if you had a mother that was yours, a dad who was living two blocks away, and a new dad who's living in the house. Big difference. If you have an outside father, you have like three relationships now. And you have to worry about whose loyalty is whose loyalty, you know, things like that. Or what about brothers and sisters? If you grow up alone, that's a big deal. If you grow up with brothers and sisters, tell me, Annie, you got brothers and sisters? I'm just curious.
Yes, I have one brother.
Older, younger?
Younger.
How do you like him?
He's very annoying.
He's very annoying. How old is he? How much younger?
He's 7.
Oh, that's a big annoyance. 4 years younger is a big annoying thing, you know, because he's got demanding a lot of attention, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what he's most annoying about him?
Yeah, sometimes he's nice, but he throws a lot of temper tantrums.
Yeah, that's not fun.
No.
No, what happens to you when he throws a temper tantrum? You feel like hitting him or you want to run away?
I feel like hitting him, but I never do.
And you never do?
No.
Yeah, so you right there you're learning early on in life there are things that irritate you and that you got to control yourself. Because if you hit him, what will happen? Somebody else will get upset, right?
Yeah.
Right? That's the main reason you hold back?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Absolutely. Thank you very much. Taliana knows herself well. Seven-year-old brother. So if you grow up with a brother who throws temper tantrums, it's very different than if you have an older brother. Did you ever wish you had an older brother, Taliana?
No, not really.
How about an older sister?
Yeah.
You wish for an older sister?
Mm-hmm.
You think about that, right?
Yeah.
It would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but sometimes it's nice to be the older sibling.
You kind of like this position.
Yeah.
You don't want to give it up too quick.
Nope.
Well, you have no chance of losing it. Do you understand?
Yep.
It's yours forever. No matter what your mother does. No matter what happens from here, Taliana, you got it. You're the older sibling. All right. So, and this is Armand DeMille. We're here with Taliana, of course, who is going to be surprising you in a couple of minutes. You grow up with money, you grow up with brothers, sisters, you grow up with, you know, how about your environment? Where do you grow up? In an urban setting, you know, which means a city, or a rural setting, which means out in the country? And if you're in an urban setting, do you like, I met somebody the other day who said they grew up in New York like I did. And I said, where? And they said, in Queens. And I said, where? And we got it down to their family had a whole house. And the family owned a house, and they went back and forth from this house. You had a house. You were rich. According to the standards I grew up by, either you grew up by in an apartment or you grew up in a house. You got a house in Manhattan or in Queens was a big deal. My grandmother had a house, but that didn't seem like a big deal. But somebody else who has a house seemed like a big deal. So a house is important. Apartment was important. Moving around, SROs, you know, people live in SROs. Growing up in a single-room occupancy place, not easy. Children grow up homeless. Children grow up in institutions. All makes a big difference. And when I say it makes a big difference, the things I'm saying to you, my friends, is that if you consider the elements that went into the factors that went into you growing up, you are a combination of all of these things, combination of it, like your education. You could have gone to a religious school, right? You could have gone, you wore a religious costume, you wore a certain suit. I went to a school, I remember we all wore blue ties and white shirts because it was part of our thing. And, you know, you could have done that, or you could have gone to a public school. Big difference, religious school and public school, right? How about private school? Another big difference. There are people who go to private schools because they get kicked out of public schools, and the families get enough money to get you into a private school because nobody else will take you. And then there are people who go to private schools because their families want them to have what the best there is. But that education, that place you go to school, is a whole place. I went to a school. Back, the first school I went to was called Manhattan High School of Aviation Trades, where they filmed Blackboard Jungle. They actually, this gangster film about kids who were killing teachers. It was like, this was like a gangster place. It was a terrible school, terrible. It's on 63rd Street. So going to that kind of a place makes a big difference than going to a school where they encourage music. And we're going to hear about that a little later today. How about, we talked about your sex, we talked about your size. How about your attitude, your personality when you're a kid? I mean, you could basically have, you could be an innie. You could be someone who's an inward kind of person, like an introvert. You could be an extrovert. You could be ingoing, you could be outgoing, you could be floundering, you could be not knowing whether you're ingoing or outgoing. You could be a pleaser, somebody who likes to please everybody. You could be a bully, somebody who beats everybody up. You could be a loner, somebody who's totally alone, a follower, or you could be a leader. How about your parents' educational level? How did your parents' educational level affect you? Do you wish your parents had gone to college? If they had gone to college, is it different than if they had gone to graduate school? Is it different than if they had gone to high school? Imagine if your parents had gone to graduate school. Imagine what a difference it would have been. Education, learning, information, you know, learning differently. Health environment. Was it a conscious health environment? In your house, did they consider whether we're going to be bringing in fast foods, you know, and try to serve you that way? What are we going to feed you with? Are we going to feed you with just anything that will give you enough sustenance? Or are we actually going to feed you nutritionally? Are we actually going to be concerned for what you put in your body? And then comes, you know, the whole idea of TV, whether a television is present or not present, how much a TV is present. A TV could be present, and it could be present like a babysitter, and very often parents do that. They put a kid in front of a television and they say, stay there. The kid gets hypnotized by the television. They are then bombarded with advertisements that are geared to go to their unconscious. And it is little wonder that a little later, when they go out and they try to have relationships, they're wondering whether the other person is using Arid underarm deodorant or not. Because they're so, you know what I mean? You've got so many things going on that they learn from there. You know, and another important thing is food. Along with food, cooking. Were you taught to cook? Did you learn to cook? Did your family cook? Was cooking an essential part of the family nurturance, right? And the other thing we could also talk about is this whole idea of what kind of environment was there. Was there an angry environment? Were you taught to express your anger? Were you taught to repress your anger? Or were you allowed to overexpress your anger? Did rage, like Taliana's young brother, you know, did that dominate the scene? There are so many factors that go into it, friends. And we're going to, I want to talk to you about it. I want to find out, did you have any power in your family? So I want to know about that. And I want to then, of course, we're going to talk about the presence of music. Now, the presence of music in your household when you were a kid, did they play Frank Sinatra in the background? What did they play? Did they play opera? Did they play jazz in the background? What was your family background music? And if it was a background music, was it present? Did they like it? Did it make them happy? Did they dance to it? Was it a joyous thing? Did they teach you that music was joyous? Did you play any instruments? Did your family play any instruments? We've got one of the people who work here. Right, Stephanie Dombra, her family has got, everybody plays an instrument. She's got, you know, they get these, when these young ones get together, they have a band. And I don't mean that as a joke. They do have a band, right? So music being an important part of your life is kind of one of the new factors, that are becoming one of the ways to balance this increased intellect with this very, very fast maturation. I think music helps bring young ones back to their souls and a connection with we adults. I went to a concert at recently in Lincoln Center where they had the youth of whatever it was called. And there were these young people, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, playing jazz, and the audience was all mature people listening and celebrating and thinking it was wonderful. I'm told there's a 12-year-old boy playing piano up in Harlem who I'm going to go see soon, who I hear is a fantastic player. And this whole idea, the whole idea that music can bridge the gap, which brings us to the school. Taliana. Taliana, is it, what's that school you go to? What's the name of it?
Which school?
Yeah, I mean, the school where you go to school.
Oh, Little Red.
Little Red. What is Little Red School?
It's a school founded by someone named Elizabeth Irwin.
And is it, they focus on, they do a lot of music there.
Yeah, a lot of the arts.
A lot of the arts. So this is in Manhattan.
Yes.
Little Red School, Bleecker Street,
mm-hmm.
kind of place. Not a bad place to go to school, but how would you know it's not a bad place? Because that's where you go, right?
Yeah.
You never went to Manhattan High School of Aviation Trades. You never went to the other places. You just went to this place. Did you go to any other schools besides Little Red?
In preschool, I went
to. In preschool, did they have a lot of music in preschool?
Yes, but that's about it.
Yeah. So, So one of the things you do, I know, I hear you're a very talented musician, but I think the thing that touched me about your music is what you're about to do for us. You in the mood?
Yes.
Are you in the mood? Here it is. Italiana is going to bridge the gap between you, my friends, and Taliana. Go for it.
You say that it's over, baby. You say that it's over now. But still you hang around me, come on. Won't you move over? You know that I need a man, honey. You know that I need a man. But when I ask you to, you just tell me that maybe you can. Please don't you do it to me, babe. Please don't you do it to me, babe. Either take this love I offer, or honey, let me be. I ain't quite ready for walking. I ain't quite ready for walking. And what you're gonna do with your life? Life just dangling.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Now, that's kind of a beautiful thing. Of all things to pick a Janis Joplin song, do you know who Janis Joplin was?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you know about her? Do you know that she had a rough life and all that stuff?
Yeah.
And you picked it because her voice did something for you?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me.
I know how she died. I really like how her voice is kind of raspy, and I think that my voice is kind of good for that type of music. And I really like music from the 60s, and yeah, just happened.
Any particular reason that you like the music from the 60s?
No, just this, I guess, the style.
The style kind of fits you.
Yeah.
How do you get along with people who are much older than you? How do you think you get along? Are they like on a different planet, or do you feel you get along with everybody?
It depends kind of what background they were from, like what type of, if we have stuff in common that we can talk about.
And music is a thing that you have in common with a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to be taking your calls about your growing up. Which of these factors were the important factors to you? Where was music in your life? You know, if you have a question for Taliana, she will answer your question as well. But here we are at 212-209-2900. It's Armand DeMille. We're listening to somebody quite talented. Who's going to be, where are you going to be doing this performance of yours, Taliana?
Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Have you ever been to Asbury Park?
No.
It's exciting. It's an exciting place down by the beach. Performances by some of the major people in the whole world. Frank Sinatra sang in Asbury Park, New Jersey. You know who Frank Sinatra is?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Do you know who John Lennon is?
Definitely.
You know who Cecil B. DeMille is?
No.
Good. I'm glad. It's about time somebody forgot about Cecil B. DeMille. He was, by the way, for your sake, he was a big movie producer. But back when I was younger, everybody knew his name because all the movies we saw, he did, you know. He did these great spectaculars like Spartacus and things like that, The Robe. And you would not be seeing those nowadays. Those wouldn't be your kind of movie. These would be these big dramas. So that's what he was famous for, Cecil B. DeMille. He's got a name very much like my name, which is why I remember him. Otherwise, I'd probably forget about him, too. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. We are going to take one of your calls. What was it in your growing up that saved your bottom? There's my real question for you. You know, if you look at all of the elements that you had, was it baseball? Was it handball? Was it playing with your Spalding? Right? Those of you who knew. And or was it music that might have saved you? Or was it the cooking class you took? What saved you as a child? What saved you? Do you ever think there was a turnover point? Taliana, was there ever a point in your life where you think, you know, you're 11 now, right? Where you think you could have either gone really bad or really good, where your mind was like saying, I'm not sure what I'm feeling.
Well, I go to this place called Fire Island, like a beach house there.
Yes, where in Fire Island?
Dunewood.
Oh, yeah, I know Dunewood.
And there's this guy that goes to School of Rock, or he used to. And he told me about School of Rock.
Yeah?
I was taking classes at my school then, and so I was going to try it out. So I think that was, like, when I went to try it out, it was really a turning point. I could have stayed at my school, or I could have gone to School of Rock.
And you could have gone to the School of Rock, and you chose not to.
I chose to.
You chose to, and you went there. So that one person who changed your life, this person in Dunewood, was it a good folk, a bad folk, a nice guy, a great guy?
He's nice. Yeah, I don't really see him a lot.
But he changed your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't Dunewood right near Fair Harbor?
Yeah.
Isn't that where they have those great sunsets?
Yeah.
Do you go down there for the sunsets, too, with everybody else? It's like I remember everybody used to go down, like a whole bunch of sheep would go down, and they would get down there, and they would – oh, there it goes. Thank you, Michael. They would go down, and they would hear – they would all be watching the sunset. Are you one of those crowd?
Once in a while.
Once in a while. But sunset's not so important to you, is it?
No.
It's very important. I understand completely. What's the big deal about a sunset? Do you have any idea?
It's pretty, I guess.
What's prettier than a sunset, Taliana? A baby.
Sometimes.
It's going to be a question I'm going to ask you to think about. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I'm going to play you your namesake for you. I'm going to play you because she's been doing some Janis Joplin. And then when we come back, we're going to be taking your calls at 212-209-2900, Michael. So we are going to take a short break, and when we come back, my friends, your phone calls and more of Taliana. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM, bringing you some considerations about your youth, about what it was that made a difference between your making it here and not making it here. And we have with us a gift, an angel, dropped on the studio named Taliana, who is bringing us her talents, her wisdom, her honesty. We're going to take one of your calls right this minute. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hi there, you're on the air. Where is this? Just kind of snuck.
Oh, yes, hello, Armand?
Yes, oh, hello, Armand, yes. Hi, it's
me. Hi, can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Yes, I can hear you well.
Oh, hi, Armand. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, anyway, my name's Tammy, and I've called in before, but it's been a while.
Hi, Tammy.
Hi, and I was just thinking, listening to Taliana, what a beautiful voice she has, and how lucky she is that she got to grow up in a house that lets her be musical, because when I grew up, it was very sterile. My parents never said they loved you, and we never listened to music, and it was just all about my father expressing anger, and nobody else got to. And I've tried to, well, my children are nowhere near as musical as Taliana, but I've just always tried to let them, you know, have their own music and express their anger to a point where it's not ridiculous, but at least acknowledge when they're feeling happy or sad or whatever. And I just wanted to say that she's very talented, and I look forward to hearing more of her sing now and then in the future as well.
Hey, Taliana, there's a question I have for you. Thanks. Hang in with us, Tammy.
Sure.
There's a question I had. Did you always want to play the music, or did your family offer you the music? Did your mother say, I'd like you to sing, I'd like you. I know you play saxophone, too. Was it something you wanted to do? Did they ever have to discipline you and say, do your lessons?
I remember when I was six or seven, I used to have piano lessons. They were definitely not my favorite, so they had to make me take the lessons. But now, no, they don't really have to tell me to.
But let me ask you now. Now, are you glad you took those piano lessons?
Yes, because now if I can play some stuff on the piano.
And it gave you an idea about music. It gave you something about the structure and quite more familiarity with it at age seven, right?
Yeah.
Do you think it developed your hands at all?
I think it did help me with my guitar.
A lot of stuff. So who was the one who forced you? With your guitar, it helped you too. Who forced you to do the lessons? I mean, who disciplined you? Was it your mom?
Both of my parents.
Both of your parents?
Then after a while, they just said, if you don't want to do it, it's okay.
Okay, so how do you feel towards them having forced you to do the piano?
Then I wasn't very happy about it, but now I think it was good that they
did that. So would you do something on the air just for, not only for your parents, but for all the parents in the world? Would you say, I made a mistake, thank you?
I made a mistake, thank you.
And what do you mean by that? Not just because I said it.
I made a mistake by not really wanting to take piano, and I thank my parents for making me do it because it helped a lot.
Thank you very much. That's very important. Look what you just did. Tammy, look what you just led us to.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mom. What did I let you do?
Yeah, look at what you let us to. That's a beautiful thing. Yes, that's a very beautiful thing. How many of us? Do you have anything that your parents did that you really felt glad that they did, like teach you how to cook? Like
my parents, you mean? You're talking to me? I'm sorry?
Yeah, I'm talking to you, yeah.
Let's see. I'm glad they made me do. Well, they did teach us manners. And the one thing they did teach us were they taught us table manners. And I've taught that to my children, and I've noticed that a lot of people don't have very good manners when it comes to, and it's a small thing in life, but I think there's a time and a place to, you know, put your elbows on the table and a time and a place when you shouldn't. And they taught us to be polite. And they actually, I rode horses growing up. My mother sacrificed a lot to allow me to do that, and I absolutely loved it.
Well, did you ever thank your mom for it?
Oh, yes. Yes, I thanked her for that very much. And
see, you know, very often that's like a refuge. You got a rageful father on one hand,
yes.
An oppressive family on another,
yes.
But a freedom, a sense of freedom on these horses that you would ride, and they allowed and encouraged that.
They did. I still refer to my parents as the ecstasy and the agony.
Yeah, I hear you. Great. And you don't mean the drugs.
No.
No, thank you. Thank you very much for calling in. 212.
Thank you, Armand.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank
hey, Stephanie.
Bye-bye.
Stephanie Dombra, who's got an extremely big family, musical family. You know, you hear Tatiana, Italiana, I guess she sounds really familiar to you, huh?
Yes, she does. And that whole idea of practicing the piano, that's my struggle as the parent. Yeah. Because I have one who doesn't want to practice and one who does.
And so who doesn't want? Your son doesn't want to practice, right?
Right.
Your son is a great musician in his own way, does not want to practice. You're going to force him to practice. I know you use a cattle prod on him, right? And you shock him when he tries to get away, and then you starve him. You keep him in his room till he practices, right?
All of the above.
Yeah. And then after you do that for a while, he practices, but you think one day he's going to turn to you and say thank you?
Well, he does for the piano. He actually didn't want to practice a couple of years ago. We stopped the piano, and now he goes to it on his own. So I'm not too disturbed by that because music is his life. So as long as you set that stage, I really do believe it makes a difference.
So parents very often will do something that's a discipline for a child that's in their offspring's best interest. And then parents do things that are not in the offspring's best interest. They do things that are in their own best interest. So like if a parent says, I don't want you to go out at night, it may not necessarily be for the child's sake. It could be just because the parent doesn't want to worry. Or if they set a curfew, it could be really for their own sake. It's very hard for youth to figure out who's this for, you or me. You know, it's a very hard thing to figure out. How do you determine when something is good for you and not good for you? Taliana, when you wanted to dye your hair green, what color is your hair?
Pink.
Pink. Yes. Did you ever hear of Pink Martini, by the way? Another group, Pink Martini, by the way, where's it going to be tonight?
David Letterman.
David Letterman tonight. The group Pink Martini, an old favorite of ours around here, who just performed at Carnegie Hall. It's going to be in David Letterman. I want you to catch it. It's kind of a unique group. But when you wanted to dye your hair pink, what did your parents say?
They said go for it. They really don't care what color my hair is.
They live in the village. You see, I mean, you could tell. This is where do you live on what street in the village?
I live Greenwich Village and 12th Street.
Yes, you're right there. You're right in the middle of it. Of course, do your hair pink. If you wanted to do your hair blonde, they probably would rebel. No, don't do that. Don't do blonde. Do pink. That's Taliana's phone. Oh, my gosh. You could answer it, Taliana. Go ahead. Just answer it and say
hello. It's a musical song.
It was a musical song. Hello. Yes, she's talking to one of her friends now.
Ruby, I'm kind of on air right now. I can't talk.
You're broadcasting your phone call right now. Okay, so Taliana's talking to Ruby.
Cell phones and kids.
Sorry about that.
That's good, Taliana. Thank you very much. Would you shut the phone off?
Yeah.
212-209-2900. Do all of your friends have phones?
Most of them.
Most of them nowadays. 212-209-2950. Let's take another call. What a fun program. Hi, you're on the air. Hi there. Hello there.
Hello.
Hello. Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, I can hardly hear you. But
okay, they'll help with that. I'll talk as loud as I can.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know whether this call is appropriate. I'm a senior, and I'm supposed to say something about what enabled me to survive my youth, or
What got you through your youth? What was your secret? What was the secret ingredient?
What got me through my youth?
Yeah.
Rebellion.
Okay, and how did you rebel?
Well, there was a friend of mine from the other side of the tracks. I was sort of middle class, and there was a guy who I got to know at school. And he went the other side of the track, so to speak. He was quite a rebellious person. And so the two of us became close buddies, and we got into a lot of our trouble. But he became, until he died recently, he really my best buddy. And so it was that sort of rebellion against the will of my parents. And then I was... So anyway,
That's what you thought of immediately.
What was the what?
Yeah, your friend that you found, in effect,
yes.
One of the things you did was you found a new family. When you find a new best friend like that, who becomes your real best friend, you find a brother.
You know, I can hardly hear you. I'm sorry, Armand.
That's all right. Michael's going to punch it up as far as he can, but sometimes it's very difficult to hear, you know? That's just because we're doing this big broadcast.
Yeah.
But you found a new family. You found a brother for yourself. You found a man who made you feel like you belonged in this world, you know?
And he was a buddy. We were both the same age.
That's right. And a buddy is a very important way to survive a childhood.
Yeah.
People underrate what childhood is about and what friendship is about, but it was certainly important. Thank you very much. Thank you for calling in. What's your name?
Henry.
Henry. Oh, Henry, I know your voice. We've spoken before. Of course.
Okay, I don't call too often, but yeah, listen, Armand, good. And anyway, I just happen to think, even though I'm now a senior, anyway, I survived my youth and I've really done very, very well.
I hear. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, Armand.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Yes, our group ranges. Senior Henry, if I remember right, it is well in his 80s, and Taliana in her 11s. 11?
Yes.
11. Did you ever hear this program before?
No.
You didn't listen before you came on the air to see what it was like?
Once when I was walking home with my friend from school, Alex, Jana's son, she told me about the radio station, so I listened to it once, and it was cool. Tell you the truth, I'm more like, I kind of don't like talking radio stations, but now that I'm actually doing one, it's more fun.
Yeah, now you're becoming part of the talking station. There you are. But music stations you like, right?
Yeah.
Because words get in the way. You know, words sometimes just get in the way of what's real. And music to you is very real. I like this. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. How you doing? This is Ensara-Ra.
Ensara-Ra. How are you? Good
we
to hear from you.
We haven't spoken for a while.
Uh-huh.
I called up. I hopefully don't take you into too different an area, but you probably know, I've talked to you about this before, that my childhood was really pretty good. It wasn't an ideal childhood, but I got through it using my mind a lot. I found that the problems that I had, I could usually think my way out of them. But I had a very, when you asked that question, and this morning, I had a very strange take on what's going on with my life now, if I can tell you.
Sure.
Okay. This is just a little different. As I say, most of my life, it's been pretty good because I was able to solve most of my problems using my mind. And I had a thought. If there is a God, whatever, and let's say God was a writer, and the idea of writing is you take your protagonist and you put him or her in a situation that makes, that they can't immediately solve, and of course that makes for a good story. So the last part of my life, about a year, I've had a tremendous physical difficulty. It was an accident, actually, a very bad accident. Now, that's interesting because I can take care of most of the mental things, but the physical one, which I'm sort of unable to resolve at this point, has put me like the, quote, protagonist that can't quite solve his problem. In other words, it's something very difficult for me, and that seems to be something that goes on with a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, and it's one of the things that happen, you know. It's when we're kids, we realize that they have power bigger than us, you know, whoever's in charge. And then we realize we have power to resist the power that they have, including thinking. And then illness challenges us. It prepares us, you know. It's almost like if there is a God, which I'm not saying there is, but if there was one, he said, okay, here's the next territory before I'm going to show you the big picture.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
And here's the way it happens. I'm going to throw you a hurdle. I'm going to break your body. And I'm going to see how you deal with a broken body. And if you could get through this broken body stuff, I'm going to take you to the next level. If you
That's
get through it with
to
good
make
spirit.
Stories, the stories where, you know, Hamlet has a real problem, not one that he can solve easily, but one that kind of beyond him, and that's why we find it intriguing. And in our lives, it seems to come up the same way.
That's right. And if you can get through it gracefully as opposed to bitterly, then we're going to show you the next step, which is going to be a little more grace. But if you get through it with bitterness, we're going to have to hold on till we give you another lesson. That seems to be the way it works. Seems to be a challenge until somehow you can get through these challenges with grace. And with grace means not just passive acceptance, but acceptance of what you can change and what you can't change, and the fact that your attitude is really all that you've got. You know? And so, Ensararo, with your spirit, as I've known you over the years, and the spirit you've got, no matter what's going on for you, I'm sure you're going to the next level.
I'm working on it.
Wave backwards at me.
Okay. Have a good day, Armand. Great program. And for the young lady,
Taliana,
it's all in your hands. Anything you want to do, you can do. If you say you can, you can. If you say you can't, you can't. But you seem to have said you can, and you're doing it.
Great. He's talking direct to you, Taliana.
Thank you.
Sure. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Such lovely people on BAI. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand. This is Cricket.
Hello, Cricket. Cricket Cohen himself.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, you know who I met the other day? I met that bass player, the one down in Brooklyn. The one who makes the basses.
Carl Thompson.
Yeah, Carl Thompson. I finally met him.
I worked in his shop.
I know you did.
Many years ago.
Did. See, I mentioned you, and he said, oh, I knew Cricket, sure.
Oh, that must have been great.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I want to use the power of radio to talk to all the kids learning music. You know, I've been teaching music.
Yes.
And I have a lot of kids. And there's a method that I use that I think is really good. And the old-fashioned way is, you know, you must go in your room and you must practice an hour a day. You know, but I say practice 10 minutes a day. But, here's the but, 6 days a week. So I would say to Taliana, who do you think is going to learn music faster? Someone who practices an hour, one day a week, or 10 minutes a day, 6 days a week?
Well, let's ask Taliana.
Yeah.
What do you think, Taliana?
Well, they're both an hour, but
exactly.
I think that 10 minutes a day would work better because you don't do it all in one time.
Right,
you spread it out.
Yeah, and it keeps it fun.
Yeah.
And it keeps it fun. That's really important. Cricket's really important.
Music is meant to be fun and enjoyable. It's an expression of joy.
And we have this idea that an hour is going to give you more ingrained learning. And it doesn't. We've learned from memory studies from, you know, that really little bits of information are terrific. And if they're done consistently over a period of time, it's more ingrained. Well, that's great. Cricket Cohen does teach, you know, if you ever need a great bassist, Taliana, I'm going to put you in touch with him and his gang. How old is your group, Cricket?
Well, I've played with many groups over the years.
You're the kids you teach. What?
I actually, on my flyer, I have my students range from 7 years old to 73, which is true.
Yeah, okay.
This is true. But I do have a lot of young kids. I teach at a local music store.
Well, we're going to talk more about that. And thank you, Cricket Cohen. And by the way, Cricket, how do people, they find you just on the internet, Cricket Cohen?
Yeah, Cricket Cohen at AOL.com.
Isn't that nice? Thanks, Cricket. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Armand.
Sure.
Bye.
Sweet man. All that bass, he says, when he signs his letters, he says, all that bass. Hey, 212-209-2900, time for one more call, because I'm going to ask Taliana to give us one more song today. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you, Armand?
I'm great.
You guys sound wonderful, really do. I got a quick question. I got a 14-year-old daughter. I'm very athletic, and now that I've gotten a little older, I realize how important physical strength and health is. And I'm trying to pass that on to my daughter, and she just, no matter what I do, no matter if I try to bribe her, force her, con her, she just resists exercise. She's not out of shape. She's not overweight. You know, she's a healthy young lady. And then, you know what? I'm asking, what am I doing? What could I do? What am I doing wrong? What might I try?
What's your primary complaint?
Huh?
The primary complaint is she doesn't exercise?
She really doesn't. Yeah, and I exercise like a maniac. I'm, you know, I know.
Well, okay, I think telling. That's a clue. What you just said is a clue. You know?
I'm listening.
You exercise like a maniac. And she says, oh, okay. Well, if that's what exercising is associated with, maniacism, then I think I won't exercise for the time being.
Well, she doesn't really watch me exercise. She just knows I go 2-3 times a week.
Yeah, but she sees that it's compulsive in you. And very often a child will resist joining a parent on their compulsion. I guarantee you, your daughter will change her mind when she believes the exercise is for herself, not for your benefit. You know?
Mm. So what, should I just leave it alone, is what
absolutely.
You're saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I knew I should have called.
What does she do? What does she do when she's not exercising?
Well, no, she's a great kid. I love her so much.
What does she do?
She studies. She loves reading. Reads a lot. She writes.
What does she like to read?
You know, healthy stuff, normal things, a little computer, a little phone, a little bit of everything. She
ask her to teach you. Ask her to teach you more. Ask her to teach you more of what she's learning. Because, you know, they got the information. You know, ask her to teach you, and then she'll be more open to whatever you might have to teach.
Yeah.
But become her student, because I think that's what's happening with us. I think in this generation, we are all, anybody having a child now is a student of their child. This is Armand. Well, I've got to get going. Thanks for calling in. You know, there's this amazing thing with the Alaskans. The Alaskan, when they have a baby, they consider the baby to be the personification of God and the Eskimos. And so they believe that if that you have to honor each child as the source of all wisdom. And when they bring up a child, that's the way they bring the child up. They bring the child up with this tremendous respect instead of this over-control. It's not too good for building good housing because, yeah, I mean, the best you do is igloos at the end of it. But, you know, it's still a way of looking at things. Taliana, how about one more moment of you?
Okay.
Let's go for it.
She's got a smile that it seems to me reminds me of childhood. Memories where everything was as fresh as the bright blue sky. Now and then when I see her face, she takes me away to that special place. And if I stared too long, I'd probably break down and cry. Whoa, sweet child of mine. Whoa, oh, 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 sweet love of mine. She's got eyes of the bluest skies, as if they thought of rain. I hate to look into those eyes and see an ounce of pain. Her hair reminds me of a warm, safe place, as if they... Yeah, that's it.
As if they... And that's it.
As if they thought of rain.
As if they thought of rain. Taliana, I want to thank you very much for being with us. I'm looking forward to having you back here with us. And we're going to organize some musical events. Oh, you touched my heart. Nice. This is Armand DeMille with you with a positive mind. If you want to get in touch with me, do call 212-757-4488. Or you could reach me by email, armand@brainlink.com. Love your ideas for the radio shows or for any other ideas that you have that you may want to send in or comments or stuff like that. What can I tell you? It's pretty great stuff being able to move this around. I'll be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m., my friends.
Song, Taliana. That song sounds so good. You sent us all. WBAI. Great. All right. 1:56. Do you have your eye on the clock? All right. It's time for some announcements.
The month of June, I'll be at the salon White Buff Bear, featuring Fred Poe and an Astro Legion. Hard Driving Dead, Dragon vs. Deacon showcases the mythical clash of cultures, philosophies, and the worlds remaining